distortion.
All right, listen up, folks. This is Chris from The Living End.
This is Duff McKagan.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho of Fozzie.
I'm Slats Every Day, and I'm from King Parrot.
James Hetfield here.
Hey, this is Sebastian Bach.
Hey, what up, everyone? Corey Taylor here from Slipknot and Stone Sour.
Hey, what's up, Australia? This is Mark Morton from Lamb of God.
Hey, this is Chuck Billy from Testament.
You are being subjected to distortion.
Distortion?
Distortion.
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 Oh, g'day everyone. How you going? Welcome to Distortion. Back again. I'm going to try and make it a little more frequent this time. Life has just been in the way. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that, you know, when I started this podcast, I was out of work completely. And as it turns out, things have been getting better. I've been getting more and more work. I've been on air a lot more. And it leaves a lot less time to do things like this. But I really want to, you know, invigorate it again and get it going again. Hence the new opener, and what a way to kick off the first of the new series here in August 2018. My first guest is Mr. Scott Ian from Anthrax. He's on his way to Australia for a spoken word. No, he doesn't like to call it that. What does he call it? He's talking shows, I think he likes to call them. Anyway, he's coming up, and I'm going to play you some music because I've got an Amped Festival on the way in October that is happening at Cherry Bar in Melbourne. It's all Aussie metal, and it goes all day, and it's going to be a huge day. We did it last year, and it completely sold out, so I'll play you some music from that as well. But enough chit-chat. Let's just get on to the interview. That's what I know you've been keen to hear. So here it is, my chat with Mr. Scott Ian ahead of his shows in Australia.
Hello.
G'day, Scott Ian.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. This is Higo from Distortion. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Nice to speak to you again.
Mate, how have you been? What's what can you tell me apart from this new show that you're bringing to Australia? What's new in the world of Anthrax and the world of Scott Ian?
We're actually on a short break right now. We finished the first leg of Slayer's Farewell Tour. We finished that right around the end of June, and we're on a break right now and actually getting ready to start again on the second leg of Slayer's Farewell Tour here in the States. We start July 26th again with them. It'll be Slayer and us and Lamb of God and Testament and Napalm Death, actually, on the second leg. Behemoth was out on the first leg, but now it's Napalm Death filling that slot. So I'm actually on vacation right now up in Woodstock, New York. So,
oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So just on a break with my family, but right around the corner we'll be out doing it all over again.
Yeah. Man, it's a hell of a tour as well. I mean, that's one that people would probably fly in from all over the world to go and see, because those lineups are just next level. As a metal lover yourself, you must just be kicking yourself that you get to go out on the road with your friends like this.
Yeah, when we probably got the call about the tour like sometime late last year, I think, and we didn't know. We had no idea that it was going to be that Slayer was, you know, deciding they were going to retire. We just basically, my agent sent over an email that just said, you know, Slayer, Lamb of God, Anthrax, Behemoth, Testament. And I just wrote back, I said, yes. And, you know, that's amazing. That's going to be the tour of the year.
Mm.
Sure, you know, like we have to go do this. And then it wasn't until a couple of months later, we found out, just like everyone else on the internet, that they were deciding this was going to be like the goodbye tour. So then it became even, you know, more important. And made us even, you know, feel that much stronger about being on the tour, because yeah, we get to be there with our brothers, you know, on this last run, and we're doing like two here in the States with them, and we're doing Europe at the end of the year with them as well, and you know, fingers crossed, we hope we get to go other places in the world with them too next year.
Oh, nice! I like the sound of that.
So.
Is that a subtle little hint for maybe what could be coming our way?
Well, I mean, you know, look, I got to assume they're going to hit everywhere eventually. That doesn't mean we're going to be with them. You know, that's why I say fingers crossed, because I'm hoping that they're so happy with the way things are going that they'll keep asking us to come out and play shows. Because, look, the U.S. shows couldn't have gone any better. It was just massive crowds everywhere. So I would love it if they just say, hey, let's take this package around the planet, you know?
Mm. Yeah, well, it'd be great for us as well. But these sorts of tours are really going to bode well for your talking show, because it's even more stories like you need anymore after 38 odd years of doing this. How do you, just getting onto that, how do you even try to decipher what stories you can tell without offending any one of your friends, or you just go hell for leather and just tell them all?
Well, most, like, anything, look, I have tons, I know, I should say, I don't have, but I know loads of stories about people that maybe they wouldn't be so thrilled if I was to tell those stories. But the thing is, most stories that I have like that aren't really stories that are my stories. I hear lots of stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm in a band, and I know lots of other guys in bands, and you hang out with each other, and you go on tour together, and you get to hear lots of stories about other guys in bands. So I know so many stories, but they're not necessarily my stories, so therefore I feel like they're not really mine to tell publicly.
Mm.
It's one thing if I'm in a bar with buddies, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? That's one thing. But to go out and like, tell a story publicly that really isn't mine, like, I have no part of it. I wasn't there, you know, it has nothing to do with me. To me, then that's just straight-up gossip, and that's not really what I do. The stories that I tell are stories that I'm generally directly in the middle of, and I'm the idiot. So, which I find work way better and are much, much funnier in general, because all the true emotion that comes along with the story is coming from me, and that enables me to really tell the shit out of the story.
Yeah. I remember the last time you did one of these in Melbourne was way back when you were on Soundwave, and we were in that tiny room, and you did it with Chris Jericho, and we heard some amazing stories there, and I'm sure it was one when you first went drinking with Lemmy, and I hope that you tell it again, and I don't want to tell it now or get you to tell it now, because I want people to just know that that experience that you had with the grandfather, the godfather, our man Lemmy, is just an amazing story.
Yeah, it's, you know, I talk to, I'm friends with a lot of stand-up comedians and writers, and I've talked to some of my stand-up friends about it over the years once I started going out and doing shows, because I asked them, what do you guys do when, once you're out there telling new jokes and then your material gets on the internet or this or that, like, you know, obviously you have to write new material as a comic, you always have to write new material anyway. But, like, you know, what happens when you show up in a place and everybody knows, let's say, a specific bit that you become famous for? And they said it's the same for you playing, like, Caught in a Mosh, tour after tour. People want to hear the greatest hits. And so that's how it is, like, for a lot of stand-ups. There's certain bits that they'll do over and over again, because even though you've heard it 20 times, it's still funny. It's still going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And it's the same with, like, a song. And so I liken it, I could then, you know, equate it to what I'm doing. So you may have heard the Lemmy story, but you know what, I'm going to tell it a little bit different probably every time, because it's not like I write this stuff down and I'm working off a script. I'm on stage and it's coming out of my brain, and I'm reacting to an audience in a live situation, and you know, it could be a little different every time. And also, I just feel like, yeah, look, maybe if you heard the story 100 times, you might say, yeah, I don't really need to hear the Lemmy story again. But I can tell you, I've told the story over 100 times, and I'm not tired of telling it.
No.
So I feel like it's still so insane and so ridiculous. And sometimes, look, if it wasn't for the fact that I was actually there, and I have pictures from that trip when I was in London when it all happened, I would actually think, It can't be real. Like, this can't really happen. How did I meet Lemmy when I was 22 years old at a random bar in London and then decide to try and keep up with him at the, like, drink? How is that even possible?
Yeah.
It happened. So that's why, for me, it's so mind-blowing for me, you know, to even have had that experience in my life. The more I get to share that, the happier it makes me.
Yeah, but and there's also the other stories that, that your fans want to know along the way, like when you came together with Public Enemy for Bring the Noise and things like that, that crossover that had never been done, the inner workings of how it happened and is so interesting to us fans. And, you know, even like, you know, working with different people, and it's just those little things that may seem inconsequential to you and your life story, but are so fascinating because we don't get to hear it.
Yeah, and you know what? I encourage people to... ask away, because I do a Q&A section in the show where I really open the floor to anything. Ask any question. You know, I really highly encourage, if there's some question that's been burning in your brain for the last 30-something years, now's your chance, man, because I'll answer it.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, you want to know about the inner workings of how it all happened with Public Enemy? Well, I'll be there to answer it.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, and well, one thing that I was kind of interested in, you might cover it in the show, is like when you grew up in Queens, you had Run DMC and the Beastie Boys, and then you found metal, and then you probably found rap at the same time, but how did the metal drag you in and not the other side that you were so interested in as well?
I'm a hard rock kid from the 70s. I grew up on, you know, rock and hard rock, so... When I discovered, or when things started becoming metal, let's say like late 70s when I first got into Judas Priest, and then 1980 being, let's say, the big turning point year, because like that's the year Priest put out British Steel and the first Maiden record came out, and Motorhead released Ace of Spades, and Sabbath put out Heaven and Hell. It was just such an unbelievable year for essentially what was to become heavy metal. And I mean, I was all about that. I was in rock and metal for years before I ever gave a shit about anything. Like, hip hop to me was, when I first heard it, it was Sugar Hill Gang doing Rapper's Delight. And The only reason you'd listen to that record was because you'd be at a house party and you'd wanted girls to dance, because then maybe you'd have a chance of kissing them at the end of the night, which never worked. But, it wasn't until 83 when I heard Run DMC, and that's really kind of what opened the door for me for that. But I was already, you know, it wasn't like one type of music was going to steal me away from the other. All of a sudden, I just had more delicious food on my plate to enjoy when I got into rap music.
It's interesting that over the years of doing or being in Anthrax, it's afforded you all these other opportunities, and they all seem like they're things that you're so passionate about, you've been able to do publicly. Like, you did a great series about horror movies, and you've done comic books, and it's like you've been able to turn all your loves into fruition, you know, and I think that's awesome. Do you have anything else that you're working on like that that hasn't come out yet?
Nothing right now, no. I mean, there's always like a stack of notes in my phone of things and ideas, and you know, it just comes down to having time to do stuff and really just kind of prioritizing stuff that, you know, that I really want to do. And you know, look, Anthrax takes up a lot of time in my life, and rightly so. I mean, things are great and I love being in Anthrax, and I love playing guitar with my brothers in my band. I couldn't ask for anything better than that. But yeah, and then when I'm not on tour with Anthrax or making a record with Anthrax, it's not like I'm really looking for other work, because I want to just be home with my family. So, you know, and since I had a son 7 years ago, that's really kind of cut back the time that I ever want to even just be away from home. So it worked out great. Look, I've wanted to do more talking shows. That's been right up there at the top of the list, and this Australia thing just worked out so perfectly, and it's just, you know, a short enough amount of time. You know, it's not like I got to go to Australia and I've got 40 shows to do or something. You know, I'm coming down there, and I'm there for just barely 2 weeks, and in and out, and get to go and have a bunch of fun doing this, and then, you know, I get to come home and be with my family again. So it's really not pulling me away for too much time.
Yeah, nice, nice. And just talking about your son briefly, has he shown any interest in any particular styles? Or I imagine that both yourself and your wife are kind of leading him in the right way with music, or is he finding his own path?
It's both. I mean, like, he's been listening to music since we were putting headphones on my wife's belly when she was pregnant. So, and he's surrounded by music in the house since he was born, and he's been to, I mean, at this point, well over 100 shows. He's been going to shows since he's 3 months old. Not just Anthrax shows, but all kinds of shows across the board. From, yeah, you know, he got to see Greg Allman.
Wow.
He just really loves great music. He's got great taste. I'm outside of a studio right now where my wife's band is actually rehearsing. And when they first started, he was on the drum kit playing Love Gun with my wife's band. It's because he's already drumming, and now he's playing piano, and he's going to start guitar soon. So, yeah, he's well into music.
Oh, that is fantastic. That's great to hear, man. Well, I'll leave it on that, and I'm really stoked to see you coming back to do this talking show, because the last one filled me with great memories, and we really hope that you can get Anthrax down here next year. But in the short term, it'll be great to see you at these talking shows, and thank you so much again for the time, man. It's going to be great.
Oh, thank you. I mean, yeah, when I did those other shows back in, I think, 2012, essentially I was opening for Chris as well, so that was a much abbreviated set when I did that. So, you know, this time I really get to come down and do the full thing, and, you know, I it's always weird for me to have to feel like I'm selling myself, but, you know, it's still, in a way, an unknown for people. If Anthrax's tickets go on sale, people understand what that is, but maybe a Scotty and talking show, they don't understand so much. But look, if you're a fan of my band or of any type of band in the world of hard rock or heavy metal, I have the feeling you will really enjoy this show.
I have no doubt, and that's all I can say as well. I can only reiterate what you've said, in that, people, you don't want to miss this show, because it is going to be so much fun. Scott, thanks again for the time, man. We'll see you when you get here.
Awesome, thank you.
Scott Ian of Anthrax, always great to have a chat with him. And those shows that you want to get to, Monday, they start Monday, September 24, Dunstan Playhouse in Adelaide. Wednesday, September 26, Goldfields Theatre at MCEC in Melbourne. Saturday the 29th of September, the Metro Theatre in Sydney. And Monday the 1st of October at the Tivoli in Brisbane. Dinnerforwolves.com is where you can grab your tickets. And if you want some VIP tickets, check out scott-ian.com.
Distortion.
All right, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm putting on Amp Festival again this year at Cherry Bar in Melbourne's ACDC Lane. We did it last year, completely sold out. We had a ton of bands playing, and we're going to do it again. 14 bands on the bill this year. Starts at midday, goes through to midnight thereabouts. And of course, you know, Cherry always kicks on to the wee small hours. Headlining the day is Figures, but I've also got El Colosso on board, Red B, Headbore, Lily, Envenomed, the first ever live show from Meshiach, Harlot, Mason, Shatterbrain, Primitive, Kill Death Ratio, Verona Lights, and Never. It is going to be a massive, massive day. There's an event page on Facebook if you want to jump on there and check it out. Just look for Amp Festival 2018. Tickets are on sale for just $35. I've got t-shirts and stuff that I'll be selling on the day as well. But as I said, last year it sold out, so you'd want to get in early. Don't wait until the last second, because you just won't get in. So what I want to do on the Distortion podcast is highlight a band that is going to be playing at Amp Festival up until that happens. And I think this week I want to play El Colosso, who have just been overseas touring throughout Europe. And unfortunately, I got the message that Craig, their bass player, has left the band after this. But they will be playing at the gig. I've been assured of that. They'll just have a new bass player. And after this song, I want to also talk about another metal festival that's coming up in September in Australia that goes off in Adelaide. And it is getting bigger and bigger every year. This is Cannonball, El Colosso on Distortion.
Sure.
That's El Coloso and Cannonball on the Distortion podcast with Higo. Check out their album Pathways that came out last year. It's an absolute belter. I'll highlight more of the bands that are playing at Amp Festival this year in the coming weeks, but I want to draw your attention to another annual metal festival, now in its ninth incarnation, the New Dead Metal Fest in Adelaide. Every year it's getting bigger and bigger, and Jason North from Truth Corroded does a great job with his team to put this together. It sells out all the time. It's huge. This year they've got the Black Dahlia Murder, Aborted, Hortopsy, Truth Corroded, Harlot, Hattle More, Hollow World, Lynch Martyr, Low, Black Helm. It just keeps going on and on. It's on the 22nd at Fowler's Live. It's truly becoming one of Australia's, if not the probably the biggest metal festival that we have, you know, aside from the big guns. I've been to Adelaide to go to this a few times, and it is always, always a hell of a time. I usually come out of that feeling very, very secondhand. It's a good time. They've also got a Facebook event page for that. Look up the New Dead 9 Metal Fest. You'll find it on there. And if you can get along, that'd be awesome. All right, today, the 15th of August 2018, we saw Download Festival Australia announce their dates for Download 2019. A little trailer that they put out, a save the date kind of trailer with vision from this year's festival. It's nice to see Karina from High Tension featuring in there, along with the crowd sizes were massive. It was a huge day. Monday, the 11th of March, it is happening at Flemington Racecourse in Melbourne. And of course, people don't watch, people don't read, and people just get angry straight away. Monday, yes, it's a Monday because it's a public holiday in Melbourne. And I would suggest that maybe that's the day that they could actually get it there. Maybe the other 2 days are busy, being that long weekend. And as promised, they are expanding the festival to go to Sydney. Saturday the 9th of March, Parramatta Park in Sydney is where the very first one up there is going to take place. I really hope I get asked back to do some more interviews, even though it was pear-shaped this year because I lost all my interviews that I did at Download in 2018. You see, it was raining a lot and I was moving gear around so it wouldn't get affected, and I baggied up all my SD cards and I lost all my interviews. I don't know where that SD card is. So I do apologise to the bands that I spoke to on the day. I had some really great chats. So one day they might turn up and we can look back and laugh. Oh, but it's caused me so much grief. No rock solid rumours on who will be here. Although, you know, as we were talking to Scott Ian earlier on, I did try and hint that maybe that March Anthrax would be here with that massive tour that Slayer's doing, like their end of time one, whatever they're doing. Their wind down tour, so that'd be great to see that in Australia. Always welcome by the heavy metal enthusiast here. Slayer, Anthrax, get Lamb of God back here, that would be great. I spoke to Tobias Forge for the Maniacs website a little while ago, and he's hinted at perhaps being here in March as well for part of Download. But apart from that, no real rumours. There's been the fake poster that's gone up and it included Hell Yeah. Well, I can't see that happening with the death of Vinnie Paul. So just ignore any posters you see unless they come from Download officially. We can speculate. Oh, we can speculate till the cows come home. I know one thing is for sure, Metallica won't be here because they've got dates already booked at that time in the US. Despite recently them saying that they want to be here very soon for their Hardwired tour. But it won't happen till later next year, I'd say. The good thing about Download is they won't drip feed like Soundwave used to do. They will just announce the lineup and be done with it. So I imagine they are flat out doing that. It's 7 months away. I would suggest that a lot of bands are already locked in and we'll get the lineup sooner rather than later. Alrighty, let's play some more music. Pagan have released their debut album Blackwash and just saw on their socials that it has sold out, barring a couple of albums that they're going to take on their shows with them, sold out right around the world of this initial pressing. So congratulations to them. It is an absolute cracking debut album. So I'm going to play you one from it called Silver. This is Pagan on Distortion.
Yeah.
Pagan Silver from their debut album Blackwash here on Distortion. And if you want to see them live, they're doing their Blackwash tour. Already played in Adelaide this Saturday night, the 18th of August at the Crowbar in Brisbane. Friday 24th, the Tote in Melbourne. Saturday the 25th, the Brisbane Hotel in Hobart. And Friday the 31st at the Lansdowne in Sydney. Tickets on sale now from paganrockandroll.com. See if you can pick up one of their albums as well. You'd be lucky if you can. Collector's item. Hey, and a segue from Pagan into Clowns, who've just released a brand new one called Freezing in the Sun. The clip is awesome and features Nikki from Pagan within it. So let's play it. Clowns, Freezing in the Sun, Distortion.
Minister Slattery in Melbourne. In hospital, the Prime Minister is in critical condition, but is said to make a full recovery.
That's Clowns and Freezing in the Sun, and I wanted to include just the end of the film clip there because you hear the name Slattery, because Slats every day from King Parrot plays the Polly. Just gets to keep working on those acting skills he loves so much. All right, I suppose we've got to talk about this. In the last week and a half, the biggest news going around was that Unify announced their lineup for 2019, which included a reunion show, a 2004 reunion show for I Killed the Prom Queen featuring Michael Crafter on vocals. Day and a half later, they were pulled from the lineup festival because of something that Michael Crafter had said on Facebook 2 years ago. And I'm sure everyone has seen the official statement from Unify Gathering. Just to paraphrase around Michael's comments, they say, quote, "These comments are completely unacceptable and contrary to our deeply held values and beliefs that music is for everyone and to be enjoyed by all." End quote. And if you go to the Unify Gathering page, they've come under fire for removing I Killed the Prom Queen from the lineup because of what one person said 2 years ago. From the outside looking in, it does seem like an extreme reaction. I understand they did what they had to do to appease people who were moving forward. It's a new time. It's a new age. It's something he did say in the past 2 years ago that's been brought up and has now jeopardized them playing the gig. So are we going to be judged on everything that we may have said when we were less informed, a bit more stupid, younger, whatever it might be? You can never run away online from things that you've said in the past, but you can learn and grow from them. Anyone who follows Crafter online knows he says some pretty outrageous and stupid shit from time to time, and a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of stuff you just don't agree with. I feel like it is a shame, though, for one person to say something like that and the whole band, why not just put the lead singer back in and keep them on the lineup? A lot of fans were disappointed by that. Anyway, we could go back and forth on this till the cows come home. Craft has come to respect the decision. So have I Killed the Prom Queen. So as far as the lineup is concerned, it really is case closed there, but I think the discussion will go on. I think the easiest and simplest way to look at it is if he remained on the lineup, then they're condoning what he said. Which is clearly not the case. And it wasn't the case when Crafter and his band Confession played on the lineup just a couple of years ago. We are living through an evolving time of what is right and what is wrong. And people are still learning from that. And all we can do is open our minds and listen. Speaking of listening, another couple of great announcements during the week. Living Colour are going to be here in Australia at the end of the year, touring in December, kicking off on the 15th in Perth at the Astor Theatre. They're doing Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, and Byron Bay, which is very cool. And the other one is Soilwork, who are doing an East Coast tour of Australia starting Thursday, the 14th of March next year in Brisbane, and then hitting up Sydney and Melbourne, and you can be guaranteed that'll sell out. Soilwork have said that we are very excited to tour Australia again, and we're going to bring a brand new album with us, and we simply cannot wait to release this one. We will do one European tour prior to the Australian dates, so our fans down under will be among the first ones to experience our new songs live. I want to go back to 2002 to the Natural Born Chaos album, the opening track, Follow the Hollow, Distortion.
Welcome. Won't you please step aside and follow the hollow? We'll be right back.
Let's follow the hollow soil work on Distortion. My name is Higo. Thank you so much for listening. Another band, just to close it out here, that I absolutely love is Circles out of Melbourne. They have a brand new album on the way called The Last One. It's out on the 31st of this month. The whole album is fantastic. I've had a listen to it already. And I want to play you one of the songs that is coming up on it called Dream Sequence. This is Circles. They're going to be on tour with Tesseract. I'll give you those dates after we hear the song here on Distortion.
Sensory waves into if you're so real.
That is Circles out of Melbourne with Dream Sequence from their brand new upcoming album, The Last One, which is out on the 31st of this month. And next month, they're going to be touring around the country with Tesseract, which kicks off on the 11th of September in Perth and goes to Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane. And then they're off to Europe with Caligula's Horse, doing 24 shows over there, which is excellent news for both Circles and, of course, Caligula's Horse, who I get to see tomorrow night. All right, that is it for this edition of the Distortion podcast. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at Higo74. Make sure to check out the Facebook page, Distortion with Higo. You'll find out all the latest news there. And if you want to shoot me an email, you can do that. Talk to Higo at gmail.com. All right, that's it. I will talk to you again soon.